Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Sonia Henny Tutu Department here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, it's come to our attention that there are a lot of people out there that don't know what we mean when we say Sonia Henny's Tutu.
Well, that's too bad,
what,
isn't it?
What do we mean? What do you call those kinds of expressions? That's a,
just a
an
little
exclamation.
Ah, that's, I like that. An exclamation. I mean, it's like, no kidding.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'll be.
Right.
Or if you were more sophisticated, you'd say, indeed.
Indeed. Well, it's
did
not
you ever meet anyone you liked who used the word indeed?
Indeed, I have. Well, that's what Sonia Henny's tutu means, except it's Norwegian. We like to add a little international flair to the show.
Everything
once
is being
in a while.
Internationalized these
right?
days.
I didn't know tutu was a Norwegian word, but I guess
I asked my son, who's very bright, I thought, how do you say tutu in Spanish? And he said, dos dos. So I gave him a knuckle sandwich, and that was it.
Hey, I guess you don't have any mail to read, so we'll just go right
well,
on.
Well, I do, actually. Here's a letter from the Hubbard Exempted Village School District. I don't know what that means. From Hubbard, Ohio. Dear Click and Clack, or Mr. and Mr. Magliazzi, we are members of the Period 9 Senior English Class at Hubbard High School. Our teacher, Mr. Rick Williams, is a fan of your show, and he decided that listening to your show would be an excellent way to expand our vocabulary. The purpose
really?
Of the letter is twofold. The real purpose is to request that you guys tone down the level of vocabulary used by you and your callers on your otherwise fine program. If you happen to read this on the air, we are afraid that our teacher will make us listen to your show each week, thus forcing us to learn more vocabulary than ever before. Why, just last week's show gave him over 20 words for us to define. Words like spew, deflector, derogatory, cappuccino, requisite, elusive, syndrome, pall, ratty, gross, tack, tangentially, pervasive, pungent, akin, dowdy, emote, plethora, obfuscation. We said all these words. Wow. This is way too much work. Don't encourage this guy. Rescue us or we will boycott your show. Sincerely yours. You got a minute? Jeannie Altman, Julio Campana, Amy Coral, John Eggert, Brian Erb, Jaime Filo, Ryan Florek, Kerry Friedman, Sherry Fai, Kim Gladura, Jennifer Handel, and Mr. Rick Williams, the teach. So, lighten it up a little bit.
I don't use any of those big words. I don't even know any of those words.
Evidently, maybe one of our callers must have used them. I don't know any of them either.
Well, anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kim calling from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, Kim.
Durham, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
Well, I'm hoping you guys can help solve a debate my husband and I are having about one of my driving habits.
Yeah, I'm sure we can.
Good.
I'm sure we can.
I drive a manual. And whenever I come up to a stoplight, in order to take my car out of gear, what I do is simultaneously hit the brake and knock the stick shift into neutral without using the clutch.
Yeah.
My husband says I should use the clutch. But I say if it doesn't grind or resist too much, then why do I need to use the clutch?
Well, it won't grind because you're not engaging but disengaging.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, don't use big words like disengaging. Is that one on the list here? Derogatory, deflector, disengage. Yeah, leave that out. Well, wait a minute now. How important is it, before we just blurt out what we think the answer is here, how important is this to marital bliss?
Are you willing to give up this practice?
I mean, is this just a simple little thing, or is this does the whole marriage hinge on the answer to this? I mean, is he the kind of guy who's going to say, I told you so? Are you the kind of woman who's going to say, I told you so? I mean,
yeah,
do we have to be careful, or can we just blurt it out?
Well, it'll make for a more blissful marriage while we're driving.
Uh-huh.
So
okay, so, I mean, you sound pretty calm about it all. I mean, this is not a trauma in your life.
Well, no, I've been driving this way for as long as I can remember.
How many cars have you wrecked?
How many transmissions have you had rebuilt? Is this so ingrained that there's no chance that you could stop?
Are you beginning to get the hint here that we're not on your side?
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah, your husband is right.
Oh, no.
As is often the case, he's right, but he doesn't know why. I mean, I run into that situation with myself all the time. I know I'm right, but I don't know why.
Yeah, even when other people have really good reasons for knowing that you're wrong.
Yeah. Standing your ground is important.
I mean, he's partially right, because you might be doing some damage, but you might not. And what you said was, if it comes right out or doesn't give too much resistance, that was the key. The answer is, if it gives any resistance at all, you're wearing stuff out.
Yeah, you're doing damage to the synchronizers in the transmission. You don't want to do that. And even when it doesn't really give you resistance, it's probably not good.
Okay.
I mean, I did it in my own car. Because I remember that clutch I had in my Pontiac? You needed two legs.
I was thinking of having
another leg somehow attached so I could push on that clutch pedal with 2 feet.
Wasn't that a clutch, huh?
That was a killer. And just the thought of stepping on that pedal any more than I had to was enough to make me adopt this habit, this bad habit that you have. Yeah. And I did it for many years.
And the truth is, I mean, it's not the end of the world. You're not doing irreparable harm. You're not going to wreck...
Oh, yeah, she is doing irreparable harm. But, I mean, you are going to wreck the transmission.
No.
It's just a matter of when.
If you really don't feel like stepping on the clutch, here's what you can do next time. Your husband's not listening, is he?
No.
Good. Don't tell him this. Here's what you do. Before you do it, before you just push it out of gear, rev up the engine a little bit. And as you rev up the engine a little bit, you'll notice that it pops out almost by itself if you're just leaning on it. So you're not putting any stress on anything because you've matched now the speed of the engine and the transmission. And if you do that, you will not be doing any damage. So don't even tell him you called us. And next time he says don't do that, you can explain to him that you're not doing any damage because didn't you notice, hon, how I revved it up a little bit because I was matching the speed of the engine and the transmission so that the synchros aren't getting anywhere. And he'll be flabbergasted.
Yeah, that'll buffalo him.
That'll
for a while.
Shut up the bum, won't it?
Yeah, that will work.
Of course, by doing that, you won't really prolong the life of the transmission all that much. You'll still wreck it, and you'll be wasting gas to boot. So disregard everything my brother said. The truth is, the right thing to do is to really step on the clutch pedal when you're going to disengage.
That is the right thing to do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry you called. See you, Kim.
Good luck.
Thanks for your help.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. Ken from Northern New Jersey. How you doing?
Hi, Ken.
Northern New Jersey.
The witness relocation.
I got a 1978 Alfa Romeo Spider Veloce. When I back off, like when I upshift, I get this noise out of the exhaust that kind of sounds like a BB rattling around in a coffee can. Kind of goes thuck, 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 thuck. And if I back off like in third gear, does the same thing. And I've had a lot of people speculate what it is, but, you know, we're dealing with mechanical fuel injection here, which is like, you know, black magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little wheel with a monkey in there. The monkey runs around like a little hurdy-gurdy thing, and he squirts gasoline.
Now. What do you guys think it is?
What do we think it is?
Yeah.
The noise you're getting is little backfires. Is that what we're getting?
Well, it is
backfires. I know it sounds like it's metallic.
Right.
Like a tinkle, almost, you might.
Like a tinkle.
Like a tinkle, yeah.
Right.
It's backfiring.
So how do I get rid of it?
Oh, you may not get rid of it. Well, first of all, you should. These guys determined that, in fact, that's what it is?
No, I've had a lot of speculation as to what it is. You know, anytime, I used to have a really good guy that I used to take the car to, but he's doing heating and ventilation now. Go figure.
Or maybe he's in the witness protection program, too.
Could be.
If people in the witness protection program meet each other, I guess they don't know. Neither of them knows that the other one is involved in the same
program. Oh, you couldn't know. You couldn't divulge. It's just you take the secret to your grave.
No, actually, they have a convention each year in San Diego.
They should, though, you know, because they probably have a lot of things they could share, a lot of experiences that they could learn from each other about. It's a shame that they don't get to talk to each other.
Well, maybe they do. Maybe,
Ken's we should
right.
publish a little
newsletter.
Phone book. Newsletter. Ken, you're on the right track here. So anyway. Now you haven't taken this car to anyone because you don't know anyone who can work on it.
Is that it? That's about where I stand right now, yeah.
I mean, there is a small possibility that you have a loose baffle in the exhaust system which could make the same kind of noise.
Right.
But it's very likely that maybe one of your injectors or more of them is not working correctly and you're getting too much gas coming into the exhaust system that isn't burned up and you're getting little explosions in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so and there may not be any remedy. I don't know. I've never fixed one of these cars. I mean, you may have to replace injectors. You may have to replace the injector pump. But it could be something as simple as timing that's incorrect also.
Yeah. That's what I was going to suggest that any one of your buddies could do.
Yeah, go for the simple stuff first.
Start with the simple stuff. And if I had to check one thing first, I would check timing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that sounds good.
See you, Ken.
Take care, guys.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dorothea.
Dorothea.
Yes.
What an interesting, nice name. Where are you from?
Thank you. I'm from New York City.
Okay. What's up?
Well, I have a Maxima, and I've got this noise is really bad. It's a loud, high-pitched squeal that we hear only after we got new belts that the dealer suggested we get. Now, the sound is, as I said, it's a squeal. It lasts from between 2 to 7 seconds. And on a 130 mile trip, we hear it about 5 to 7 times. But the last time we took the 130 mile trip, we heard it about 30 miles intermittently. The sound is terrible. It's so bad, I don't want to get into the car again.
Make the sound.
Oh, I'm glad you asked me. I'm good at this.
Yeah, I know you would be. Yeah.
That's it,
huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Very good, Dorothea.
And you say for 30 miles it came on and off intermittently.
That's right, on a 130-mile trip. We brought the car back to the dealer, and we complained that perhaps he did not put the timing belt in or the other belts in. Right. He looked at it, he charges for a tune-up, and he said he couldn't find the problem. Now, it doesn't...
And you took that, huh? You accepted
no,
that?
No, I'm not paying. I'm thinking of suing, frankly.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to know because I'm always looking for new tactics.
If you give me permission to sue him, I will do it.
No,
I really
you can't sue anybody anymore.
No more suing. We have to stop all suing. The only way to get half the lawyers out of business is for all of us to agree we will no longer, maybe a little moratorium of maybe 5 years, during which time no one sues anybody for anything. And these guys will all starve to death and they'll get good jobs, maybe working in the delicatessen.
I think we need to go back to traditional values in this country and use time-honored methods. Beat them up. That always used to work. If somebody wronged you, you hit them with a stick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all these lawyers come on the scene, and now you have to sue people. No, hit them with a baseball bat.
I agree with you, but what do you do with a dealer who's very nice and patient and won't do anything for you?
Well,
anyhow, let me go on. I have more to say.
Well, he might be right, actually.
This sound you do not get unless we're at highway speeds of about 50 miles and up. That's when the squealing begins.
No kidding.
Now what?
Now, you said he replaced belts.
Yeah.
But and then you said timing belt.
Yeah.
Did he replace belts other than the timing belt?
He did that and a couple of other belts, I believe.
Because this is not a typical sound that belts would make. The timing belt would never make this noise.
He said it sounded to him like a pulley.
And when it occurs, you're driving on a straightaway at highway speeds.
Yeah.
You're not turning left or right.
Well, sometimes we are.
Well, but you don't have to be.
You don't have to be.
No.
You could be going straight
That's
ahead
right.
or turning.
That's right.
And you hear...
Like that.
Are there any animals missing from the neighborhood?
Not yet.
No, I'm going to guess that you have a bad idler pulley. There are a couple of... At least
What did he say?
I-D-L-E-R.
Idler pulley.
Idler. Something like my brother. He idles a lot.
Okay, or a tensioner pulley. You can also call it that. He'll know what you mean if you mention one of those two terms.
Yeah.
Okay, and I suspect one of those, the bearing in one of those pulleys is bad, and that's what's accounting for the, what do you call that, the intermittency.
Yes.
Put that on Harvard High School's list, too.
Intermittency.
Of the noise.
The bearing and pulley is bad.
Yeah, the bearing and the idler pulley is bad.
Just say tensioner or idler pulley to him.
And it could also be the timing belt tensioner is bad, too, but I think it's not. I think it's, and I think that what caused it was the mechanic put the belts on and put them on too tight.
Ah.
And it damaged the bearing.
So it's their problem.
It's your problem.
We pay for it. It's their fault, but we pay for it, right?
There you go.
It may be their fault, but there's really no way to ever prove it that it is. And
that's the problem with doing it with lawyers. You have to prove stuff. You go in there with a stick. You don't have to prove anything.
You don't. No.
If the stick is big enough, he'll fix it, whether it's his fault or not.
Wait, do you realize what a precedent you're setting for your very own customers?
You know,
I hadn't thought of that, actually.
I mean, how would you like it if your customers now adopt this very strategy that you're proposing here? They're going to come in tomorrow morning with baseball bats.
Well, if the truth be known, that they used to, and that's why we shaped up.
I wish you fellas lived down in my area. You could do the work for me.
They will fix it. It's not a big deal.
It isn't a big deal.
No. I don't think so. See you, Dorothea.
I love your name, Dorothea.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, it's time for us to answer last week's puzzler. Do you have any recollection of the puzzler from last week?
Technically speaking, no.
How about speaking any other way?
That would be a no also.
Well, it happens to contain all three of your all-time favorite puzzler elements.
Huh? What are those?
Oh, come on. Inky shadows?
Oh, yeah.
Dimly lit Quonset huts?
Yeah.
And Krusty the Mechanic.
Sounds great. You're making me wish I could remember it.
Well, we'll be back with the whole story and the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Sapphire Trans Am, high beams in vain, drive wild Broncos down the plain, push up to the corner where the turbines hiss. Someday we won't remember this.
And even though Yo-Yo Ma starts beating his radio with his cello whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as isolation, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment when you need professional help. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/cartalk to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Face masks have become the new normal as we continue to grapple with the ongoing pandemic. But when did we start wearing masks for our health and safety?
This week on Throughline, the origins of the N95 mask and how it became the life-saving tool it is today.
Throughline from NPR, the podcast where we go back in time
to understand the present.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was sent in by a fellow named Roger Meyer, but I had to add some extra obfuscatory information for purposes of unclarification.
Declarification? I think it's declarification.
Okay, well, anyway, here it is. A group of explorers and other wackos were trapped in Alaska for the winter season. And stuck in the ice and snow, they had only one means of getting anybody out of there before the spring thaw. They had in their possession one of these old World War II airplanes, you know, the ones with skis.
Yeah.
That could carry two people, a pilot and a passenger, in the event of an emergency. Anyway, the plane had a placard on the instrument panel that said in bold red letters, "Do not attempt to start engine with oil temperature below minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit." Did I mention it was cold? They're in Alaska.
It's cold.
It was three pairs of Bronco Nagurski long underwear cold. Well, wouldn't you know it, a medical emergency arose, a severe hemorrhoidal flare-up, I think. A member of the party had to be flown to Anchorage for an emergency sitz bath. But when the pilot checked the oil temperature gauge, he discovered it was broken. It gave him no information about the oil temperature. So he decided to check the outside temperature. But as luck would have it, this being an international team, you know, of explorers and whatnot and wackos, all of their thermometers were in centigrade, and nobody, not a single soul, could remember the formula for converting centigrade to Fahrenheit.
Jeez.
Well, finally, Krusty the mechanic comes forward. He'd been carefully looking over the engine for the last couple of days, perhaps to make his own escape. Anyway, he emerges from, get this, the inky shadows of the dimly lit Quonset. And the others ask, do you know the formula for converting centigrade to Fahrenheit? He says, I don't know or need no stinking formulas, but I know you can start the engine. It will be all right. And they say, okie dokie. And sure enough, they start it up and it's fine. Of course, the propeller fell off, but that's another story. So the question is, how did Krusty know that it was above minus 40 Fahrenheit without a Fahrenheit thermometer or a formula to convert centigrade to Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
Well,
I wonder how many people just immediately said,
well, the formula happens to be F equals 9/5 C plus 32.
Yeah.
And if you put 40 degrees in, or minus 40 degrees in for F, C comes out minus 40 also. What Krusty knew, even though he didn't know the formula, is that if it was above minus 40 centigrade, it had to be above minus 40 Fahrenheit, and therefore...
Because minus 40 centigrade equals minus 40 Fahrenheit.
Exactly. So as long as the temperature was above minus 40 centigrade, it was safe to start the engine. And they just should have made sure the bolt was on the propeller and it wouldn't have fallen off. But like I said, that's another story. Anyway, who was our winner?
Our winner this week is Peggy Ratz from Pacific, Missouri. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Peggy's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get her very own copy of our CD, Car Talk Cartoons, which, by the way, is a million seller. Means we got a million of them in my brother's cellar.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, poetic, mathematical. This is inspired by William Shakespeare, a.k.a. Guglielmo Gettalancia.
Yeah.
And
I got your jet. I got your jet to launch.
I gotta get the launcher now. I think. Anyway, that puzzle will be coming up in the third half of today's show. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car or Shakespeare or whatever. The number is 888 Car Talk. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Cynthia Kukla from Covington, Kentucky.
Hi, Cynthia.
Cynthia. Are you from horse country there in Kentucky?
Well, I'm not far from horse country. That would be down a ways by Lexington.
Yeah. Yes.
I live here part of the time, so I'm in Covington, and that's across the river from Cincinnati.
Ah, and where do you live the rest of the time?
I live in Bloomington, Illinois.
You do?
Oh.
In fact, that's part of my question to you guys.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. I have a Subaru Loyal station wagon, and it's got about 152,000 miles on it, and I just love it. And in about February, I had some of the seals done because there was a little bit of the oil splattering on the garage floor.
Yes.
And so when I had that done, my kids got really alarmed. They've been alarmed for some time because I commute back and forth. It's about 300 miles, about every other weekend. And they're worried that my car is going to break down on the highway, and they want me to dump the Subaru instead of putting more money into it and maybe get something.
And buy a nice Z3.
that they can borrow.
Well, they're old enough. They have jobs in their own car.
Yeah, I know, but they never stop lusting after your car.
So, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, what your experience is with, you know, the station wagons that Subaru put out. And am I foolish to keep putting money into it, or should I consider getting a better used car?
Boy, this is the question of the ages, you know?
This road that you drive between Bloomington and Covington.
Right.
It's a major highway.
Yes.
And so if you were to break down, there's a constant flow of state police and whatnot going by and tow trucks ready to pick you up, so you wouldn't be stranded out there for hours on end. Is that true?
Not likely. I guess the big question is it worth the gamble? Because I love this car. It fits great, and I don't know if I'm just being foolish, even having, you know, done the about $500 job I just had done to have the oil seals done, and is it going to start to possibly break down? What is the history of this car?
Well, they usually last about 150,000.
I knew you'd say that.
Well,
I think 151. I mean, is it a matter of money? Is it a matter of love of the car? Is it a matter of telling your kids to mind their own business? What's the issue here?
All right, the big issues are the car's been paid for. I paid cash for it.
Yeah, you probably paid about $2,000 for it.
So I'm going to have a heart attack if I have to go out and buy a new car, you know?
But you understand that eventually you have to do this.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, in spite of these seals which you just had replaced, there are lots of pieces on this car that are 152,000 miles old.
I know.
And if any one of them were to break, it would leave you stuck, or worse than that, might cause you to have an accident.
Well, that's what the kids are saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're right.
So here's my advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell the kids you're destitute, and they have to pony up the money and buy you a car.
When's your birthday?
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Oh, perfect.
You've been going, tell them you haven't been going to visit friends in Illinois. You've been going to the casino every week, and you blew all the money.
You blew everything. Yeah, I like it.
And you need a new car.
And you're right.
You're too embarrassed to ask, and I think they'll buy you a car.
Yeah.
Now, what kind should I get?
Oof.
Well, if they're buying, you want a BMW.
Yeah. No, 7 Series.
I certainly couldn't recommend against getting another Subaru.
Okay.
No, the Subaru's fine. If you like it and it fits you.
Yes.
They have a pretty good reputation.
Okay.
So I think it is time, and I think you should do it like tomorrow. I mean, what's the difference between now and 155,000 miles or 200,000 miles? You might as well do it. So what?
See, and right now, you still love this car. But one or two breakdowns, and it's going to leave a sour taste in your mouth, and you'll be reluctant to buy another Subaru.
Yeah.
So right now, in fact, if I were this local Subaru dealer, I'd call you tomorrow and invite you in for coffee.
And make you a deal that you can't refuse.
That sounds great.
Good luck.
I think your kids are right, and you should do it.
You know, I think they called you last night.
They did.
They did, and they sent us money.
$3,200 to be exact. See you later, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
1-888-8. What the heck is that?
You know, if that were, I know there was a gender bias there. If that was, what if that were you calling about my car, or me calling about your car? You'd say, what, 150,000. Buy another set of vice grips and keep driving.
No, there certainly is a gender bias when it comes to driving cars at night.
Yeah.
In the dark, and it's no secret that women are more vulnerable when they break down than men are.
Of course. And so I don't think you should take a chance. But for guys,
oh, yeah, exactly.
They're expendable.
Get a roll of duct tape and you're all set.
Just keep driving, man.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Wyatt calling you from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Wyatt. Well, you don't run into many people on the East Coast named Wyatt.
No,
well,
you don't.
Funny you should say that. I am really a Manhattanite. From way, way back.
Really?
Yeah.
And did your parents...
Sorry?
Did your parents name you after Wyatt Earp?
That's a common question, and it usually gets a common answer, which I won't repeat because, you know.
Well, who else is that? You're the only two Wyatts in the world, Wyatt Earp and you.
Well, I actually met a guy named Wyatt Troll when I was growing up, and I figure his last name definitely beat mine, so I think he's really the official Wyatt. I'm just a pale imitation.
Wyatt, I like the name Wyatt.
All right. I have a big bone to pick with you.
Okay. Yeah,
go ahead.
All right. Now,
rave on.
All right. So basically, the problem is, as I said, I am a Manhattanite at heart. I grew up in New York City, and I was a big Yankee fan. And as a result, whether from nature or nurture, I grew up to have a healthy disregard for all things Boston and Bostonian.
Including the Red Sox.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But despite my better instincts, culled from, you know, a hearty and happy childhood, I was out of the country last year. I ran out of money after a year of being gone. I come back, and I need a place to live. A good friend says, I have a room in my apartment in Cambridge,
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God, that would mean I'm in Boston. I can't do this. But then I thought, the guys at Car Talk, they're from Cambridge.
They're from Cambridge.
It must be a good place. All right, so I get there in September, and I have the 8 worst months of my life. And I blame it entirely on you.
That's why you moved to New Mexico?
Well, essentially, my wonderful love Patricia and I had to flee the city. Police on our tails. We get in our 1969 Volkswagen van. I know you guys love this car.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And you tried to elude the police driving a 69 VW van. So why did you have 8 miserable months in Cambridge?
My closest friend in the world and I have an irreparable rift. I'm evicted from 2 apartments. My personal computer, which is my mainstay and the way I don't earn my living, was destroyed. And that's a good start, I think.
So I suspect that one of your neighbors got wind of the fact that you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah, you're right.
That's an explanation.
But as long as...
I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night screaming, Bucky dead, Bucky dead.
All right.
I might have done it for them.
But wait, the most important thing. You're loved, Priscilla.
Oh, I am loved. Patricia and I,
we get
into our Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And we drive. We take the southern route. We go through Philly. We go through D.C. The car is humming along. It is a gem. We go through all these states. Texas, we almost get killed in. In total, we go 2,700 miles on our way to our destination of Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is 2,741 miles.
Close, but not no cigar. Yeah.
So the last 41 miles, we were towed out of an almost 3,000-mile journey.
Not bad.
Very close, you know. So
sure.
Basically, we were losing power, and I pulled into a gas station, and I said to myself, okay, we're not on all cylinders. Maybe it's the point.
Yeah, but how was the van running?
Oh, the van. Hey. Boy.
We know you weren't on all cylinders.
I tell you. All right, so basically he tows us. The next morning I look in the distributor. The point is pitted. So I say to myself, okay, distributor condenser.
Mm.
I get a new condenser.
Good.
Am I on the right track?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds
okay.
Great.
All right, so I get the condenser. I find out that the one that they had on this distributor, which I've learned was a centrifugal advanced distributor, which is not standard for the 60s.
No, they were put in. Those are those are the engine melting ones.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's special just for me. Well, they put on this condenser, which was one from Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a Bosch, and apparently everything made sense. Up until now, I'm going, I'm a genius. I've replaced the condenser. I put in the point. I set the gap at 0.016. I'm all ready to go. I put it back in. Everything's cleaned. Lithium grease on the inside. I'm really feeling like I'm doing something.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Well, it's all back on, and I put the key in the thing, and I turn it, and it doesn't work. I get a vroom, 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 and it won't start.
Oh. So now what?
That's why I called you.
Oh.
Oh, that's the current status now?
That's
is the car doesn't start?
Yeah, it's vroom, 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 vroom.
And was it running before you got on the hook?
Okay, we were on 10 West in El Paso, and it was dying.
It was dying.
All the cylinders were not, dying not in the sense of it went completely. It was just, I could hear that I was on 2 cylinders, because I've overheated before.
Well, you may have overheated, and you may have, in fact, blown a head gasket.
Oh, really?
Or 2. You only have 2.
Eee.
With a 69 Volkswagen bus and 2,700 miles of driving.
We did 700 the last day.
Yeah, you melted it.
Okay.
You cooked it.
Oh,
I think. Here's what you need to do. You need to do a compression test, but you probably don't have a compression tester. So you need to go and have one done.
Okay.
And you're going to find out that one cylinder has 120 pounds, the next one has 120, the next one has 0, mm-hmm. and the next one has 0. And then you'll know why it doesn't start.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be sad, but...
Am I more doomed financially than I was going into this gambit?
Well, no, I mean,
if you can find someone who wants to and knows how to do that job,
mm-hmm.
it's not terribly difficult.
Okay, so it's not a $500 job.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure it is.
Oh, yeah, more.
No.
Well.
Oh, no.
Well, Wyatt, if you hadn't been a Yankees fan, and God
it's
knows
true.
What else you are,
yeah.
you could have remained in Cambridge and you'd be living happily ever after here. But instead,
None
you've been exiled to Las Cruces.
These 69 vans run forever in Cambridge. They never break down. They get 51 miles to the gallon, and they don't rust if you leave them in Cambridge.
Oh, gosh.
All right, you've learned your lesson. We'll forgive you.
All right.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow.
All right, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take a minute and get ready for the new puzzler.
Oh, good. I mean, I have to get my head together, man.
I said a minute, not a mallet.
We're going to have a brand new puzzler and just a mallet.
Step on up, meet Rayanne, hard-headed girl with a wrench in her hand. Dreaming through the day, working through the night, so she can feel the glow of the dirt track lights. Now don't give a damn about no movie stars. The only album owned has the Speedway sound. Richard Petty and the boys, they adorn her walls. Dreams of the day when they come to call. Chasing round and round, around and round, around till the checkered flag goes down.
And even though Heisenberg gets more uncertain than ever whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
We're spending more time at home than ever before. So now's a great time to finally adopt a dog, right?
Socialization is going to be harder because socialization and social distancing are definitely at odds.
So before you decide to adopt a canine companion during quarantine, listen and subscribe to NPR's Life Kit.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk.
Don't wake me up like that!
With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
The new, what did you call it before? Poetic or something?
Shakespearean.
Shakespearean, yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is, I'm gonna recite an equation. Okay, yeah. But you got to write this down because you can't commit this to memory.
No.
So I'll give everyone a minute to get a pencil. Okay, time's up.
And when you miss it, go immediately to the website, and it'll be there.
It'll be there, okay? But I'm going to provide you with an equation, and from that, you are going to give me a limerick, which consists of five lines. You know, there was a young da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- got the Waldorf Astoria. Just, right. So we get that straight right off.
But it is nonetheless a limerick.
It is nonetheless a limerick, and I'll even give a little hint. Okay, yeah. Here it is. Get your pencil.
Oh, wait a second.
You're gonna write. This is gonna be the numerator of a fraction.
Okay.
12.
Yeah.
Plus 144.
Yeah.
Plus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 3 times the square root of 4.
Yeah.
All divided by 7.
Yeah.
That's the first part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 5 times 11. You with me?
Yeah.
Equals 9 squared plus 0.
Ha, 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 ha.
Okay, I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
The numerator is 12 plus 144 plus 20 plus 3 square roots of 4 divided by, now the denominator is 7.
Right.
So that whole quantity is added to 5 times 11. And that now that whole thing on the left equals 9 squared plus 0. And I'm going to give the last line of the limerick.
And you got to come up with...
You come up with the other four lines. The last line is 9 squared and not a bit more. Now, if you think...
So it's...
Just think of Nantucket.
And the band from the Waldorf Astoria
is 9 squared and not a bit more. Is there anything such as, is there anything like is there anything as a clean limerick?
No.
I don't know any.
Well, this one is.
So if you think you can express this mathematical equation as a limerick.
Just give us the last line again.
Is 9 squared and not a bit more. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us, and I don't imagine why you would. 1-888-CAR-TALK is the number. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sally calling from North Salem, New York.
North Salem? Where's that?
It's about an hour north of New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. North of White Plains.
Oh, yeah, sure. We know exactly where you are. So what's happening, Sally?
Well, I was driving my husband's Ford Explorer, which is 2002, about a week and a half ago, and all of a sudden, there was a loud sound that went through the whole car, sort of like like an electrical charge that went through the car, and at the same time, this enormous bright light flashed right next to my arm, which was resting on the console.
Sally, you haven't told anyone else this story, have you?
I have. I know it sounds completely ridiculous, but I promise you this happened.
Did your hair go from curly to straight?
No, it did not affect my hair. The strangest thing is it didn't seem to affect the car at all. I pulled over immediately, jumped out of the car, and was waiting for something to happen.
Where was this light? In the middle of the car?
It was right near where the cigarette lighter is, and the phone charger was plugged in, but there was no phone attached. And when I jumped out, I went away from the car, but I
was the car moving when you jumped out?
No, it was not moving.
Were there other cars on the road?
No, there was no one else. It was a little country road, and there was no one else around. But there was a power line right over the car.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the only thing I could imagine was if it had something to do with static electricity. But it was the sound.
Were you wearing natural fibers?
No.
Did you hear the words, Gort, Klaatu, Barada, Nikto?
And I did not take another trip to another planet.
What was the weather like?
It's clear. Completely clear.
And you saw a wire up above you?
Yes. There was a wire that crossed over the road. There were both the cable wires and the power lines crossed over.
You didn't hang a Huey and see if it happened going the other way?
No, it scared me half to death.
Oh, I would have kept going back and forth, back and forth.
Absolutely.
No, honestly, the light was so bright, and I thought something was catching fire, or I had
yeah,
no
yeah,
idea.
Well, sure, Sally, we're with you.
Yeah, you're sure you
they
are.
I tell you, when you talk at the nut job like this, and you just keep saying yes and agree with them, and you shouldn't be confrontational. I'm sorry. Was my mic on?
Does anyone screen these calls? I mean, can any wacko just call us?
Evidently.
This is not fair to us.
Evidently. So what are you trying to find out from us?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened. I mean, the car is fine, never did anything. But I just wondered if you had a clue what could have caused it. And if it's, obviously, if it's something that might happen again or if it's dangerous.
Well, it certainly is unusual. And no, we do not have any experience with it.
I stumped the Car Talk guys.
Well, wait.
No, that doesn't mean we don't have an answer.
We haven't given you an answer yet, but we will.
Okay.
Where exactly were you?
What town were you in?
Wacabuck, New York.
Wacabuck.
Don't laugh. Well,
no, why would we laugh?
Give us a break.
Wacabuck is a very lovely community.
Have you ever been back there since then?
Yes, it's actually the neighboring town, and I drive that road all the time.
So you drive under these power lines?
Yes, I do.
On a regular basis, and this
I
one
do.
Time, is there any chance that maybe you nodded off for a second, and then you...
I was not chewing on the phone cable at the time.
You weren't chewing on the phone cable.
The phone cable was plugged into the cigarette lighter, but there was no phone attached.
Right.
I hate to break it to you. I don't think the phone cable plugged into the cigarette lighter has anything to do
you
with
don't.
This. No.
That was the only thing I could imagine.
And you didn't see Rod Serling step off from behind a bush
really?
With a cigarette dangling from
waiting.
His lips?
I was waiting for him.
You're waiting for him.
Oh, man.
You've been into the Twilight Zone. Next stop, Willoughby. Jeez, I don't know, Sally. Of course, we believe every word of what you've told us.
Of course we do.
Because you'd have no reason to lie.
That's correct.
However, it's entirely possible that you either saw something that wasn't there,
No, I don't think so.
Or you're nuts. And I'm leaning heavily towards nuts.
Well, but the what about the sound?
Oh, the sound.
Yeah, no, it happened.
Give us the sound again. What do you think the sound was? It was like a...
It was like a... Zzz, zzz. You know, like a, but a really loud...
Yeah.
Well, you would get that. I mean, for example, a buildup of static electricity.
Exactly.
That's why I was asking you if you were wearing natural fiber clothing, because it could have been a big static discharge.
Well, that's what my husband thought.
Was the radio on?
Yes.
Because sometimes interference, especially when I drive under a power line sometimes,
right,
I go...
Right, but it was loud, much louder. It was like...
It can be louder than the radio.
It was like it enveloped the car.
And maybe...
That would explain the sound.
Here's what I think.
Right.
I think you nodded off a little bit. Now, just work with me here, will you? You drove under these power lines, and this interference came across the radio, but
right.
It was much louder than the radio volume, you know, was turned up to. But that's okay, because interference can be louder. And that startled you and woke you up. And when you woke up, you saw the sun, and
I don't think
she
so.
She didn't nod off.
I did
and
not.
She saw the bright light.
No, I don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
I don't either.
Well, I think the zoom, zoom noise was radio interference coming from the high voltage wires. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But it does not explain the flash
bright light.
Of light.
The light was so intense, I couldn't wait to get the car stopped and jump out of the car.
And what was the name of this town again?
Walk-a-buck.
Walk-a-buck, all right. that's like buck-a-buck, Walk-a-buck. We're going to put it on our website, and I'm sure
that we will get someone who is familiar with high-voltage things.
In Walk-a-buck.
Yeah.
Sally, okay. I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to talk to you today.
Okay.
And well, one way or the other.
Thank you.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. And if we never speak to you again, we'll know why. See you later.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Where do they come from?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi, guys. My name's Ted from New York, Flushing, New York.
Hey, Ted.
You didn't have to tell us where you were from. We could tell.
You can. Why?
Why? Because you sound like you're from New York.
Oh, we don't all sound alike.
Yes, you do.
What's going on, Ted?
Well, I have a little problem with my van. I bought a Dodge van.
This is a full size. This is like a B250 or something?
Yeah, exactly. A B250.
Gotcha.
And it's nice. It has a TV and, you know, captain's chairs and
yeah.
a... Fold down rear seat, folds into a bed and stuff like that.
And so what do you do? You like go camping in Central Park with this?
Well,
no, he goes out to the Mets Stadium and parks in the
Kew Gardens.
Kew Gardens. I like the way you say Kew Garden. And you say you can tell I'm from New York. Never guess where you guys are from. Anyway, the van has a little bit of a problem. From the first day I got it, it was raining when I picked it up, and as you're riding in the rain for the first 5 minutes, everything is fine. But then you start getting this wobble. Not a wobble like a physical wobble, but a sound wobble, like a go wonka, 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 wonka. And I took it to my mechanic, and I says, what do you think it is? So he says, oh, it's probably water inside the between the body and the floor, you know, the outside body and the floor of the van. So put it up on a lift. And sure enough, there was some weeper holes there that were a little bit clogged up with paint. He drilled them out, and water came out, and that was the end of it.
Really?
But you would hear this. Would this be in step with the speed of the car, this wonka, wonka, wonka? In other words, if you doubled your speed from 10 miles an hour to 20, would it go from wonka, wonka to wonka, 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 wonka?
Kind of like that.
And did you ever experience vibration?
No.
Okay.
No vibration.
Continue the story.
Plan
okay.
B.
So the van was fine until it rained again. And after 5 minutes, sure enough, there would be that wonka wonka sound. So I took it back to my friendly mechanic, and he put it up on the lift. And lo and behold, there was no water.
Mm.
Nothing. But it was just annoying. It really didn't affect the driving or the steering or anything.
Wonka wonka wonka.
Well, if you take a wash tub, an old-fashioned
Sure, and you let the water slosh back and forth.
No, it's not a slosh. It's more like a, you know, like a...
Oh, it's what you get by shaking a piece of sheet metal.
There you go. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Oh, that sound.
Oh.
And is it constant?
Yep. But it's a little bit more pronounced when you hit a bump.
A little more pronounced when you hit a bump, but only when it rains.
Well...
Wow.
I remember there were some Buicks and some other GM...
Pontiacs.
Buicks, Pontiacs, but I first heard about it from Buicks, that had a problem with an exhaust system that was a shielded pipe or a heat-shielded pipe, and it was a... I believe it was the pipe that led to the catalytic converter.
That sound!
Okay, and what would happen when the thing got heated up, it would expand, but then if you drove the thing through a puddle, for example, and got the outside of it, that is that part of the wrapping of the pipe, cold, it would begin to contract. And it was the movement of one pipe against the other that would make that wonka wonka sound.
Only when it got wet.
And I would try an experiment. I would try getting the thing hot, getting the car hot, and you get out your garden hose.
You don't have to be moving to do this.
You don't.
This is good because it would be tough to do what my brother's going to suggest.
Oh, okay.
And I want you to hose down the exhaust system from underneath.
Let the engine get good and hot.
Okay.
And then sprinkle the hose on it.
Now you have to be moving to get the noise.
Yeah, when we just standing. Well,
you might not have to be moving.
You may be able to get a hint of it by doing what I suggested, by hosing down the exhaust system. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and get a hint of it, then you'll know. And it must be exacerbated by the vehicle moving.
Sure.
I think I should give that a shot.
Give it a shot, and your wife can always strap you to the underside of the vehicle and drive along.
Yeah. Good luck, Ted.
Why, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure
talking
to you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy. Cute, cute, cute. Oh, that resurfaced.
Oh, we're really getting him there. He's
Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Dalai Lama's 3,364th annual Nanga Parbat Free Range Yak Roast and Rice Wine Festival, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody.
I won't.
Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our former brake service manager is Carson DeLake. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our staff termite inspector is Luke Underwood. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Of course, as always, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Sid Vicious lookalikes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And of course, don't drive like my brother.
Of course, don't like... And of course, don't drive like my brother. I got lost there. I got carried away.
We'll be...
I had a whole line. I couldn't handle it.
Can't count on you people for anything. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
I fell asleep.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 2020, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our Taste Challenge clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's long in the grill? The Car Talk vehicle donation program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to your favorite NPR station. It's the good deed you've been looking for to help justify that new Lexus. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mothers everywhere hurl their week-old Mother's Day bouquets at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.